Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back, Whiskey and Wires. We are in episode 7, where we sit around, talk tech, a lot of wiry things, while we enjoy delicious whiskeys. Get to know a little bit about them. So, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Oh, I'm doing just great.
We just completed our control burn, or control tasting. What was it called again?
Control bourbon.
Control bourbon. Gotcha. And so for those that do not remember last time, we actually drink a little bit before to kind of wake up the taste buds and the mouth and the palate and all that stuff, yeah, right?
Get it all acclimated.
Mm.
Take a few swigs and just swirl it around for a little bit.
And I know, it's weird. It's almost like I feel like when I do that, it's going to burn off so you're not ready for all the goodness of whatever you're tasting.
Yeah, when I first heard about it from Ed, that was kind of what I thought too.
Because
when you eat hot food, the more you eat, the less you can taste.
Yeah.
But with this, if you get your mouth acclimated and start it burning and getting that swirled around,
it's going to taste even more.
Yeah, it just makes it so you can taste all those flavor notes better.
Mm-mm-mm. And coincidentally, today we're going to be talking about MSP thing. So for those that don't know, managed service provider, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When you said provider,
it popped.
Cut out in my ear.
Yeah.
And it came back. So I was.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk a little bit about what that is, why that's important, and kind of how it all works. So I mean, before we get into that, we have to talk a little bit about what we're gonna be starting out with, right, Ed?
Oh yeah.
Okay. What do we got here?
We got some Angel's Envy.
Ooh, buddy.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's basically Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, and they finish it in port wine barrels.
So we actually, we're super juiced here. We're going to have two, so we're not going to bring up the second, but we're going to be comparing the two port barrels. So legit, like, they're going to make port, right? It sits in the barrels. Port goes out, gets bottled, and then they just put the bourbon in that, and it sits there for another 8 years?
Couple years, I think.
Yeah.
And it picks up the flavor.
Yeah, not 8 years. I think with Angel's Envy, and I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure for this particular batch, what they do is they make their bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the 6 years in the barrel. It is straight up bourbon. They make it perfectly according to standards. And then they order in barrels. I believe they're European port barrels. I forget the exact country, but they order them from Europe.
Yeah.
And then they age them for 2 more years inside those port barrels.
That's crazy.
Yeah, everything, it's still in Kentucky, it's still everything like that, but because it is in those port barrels, it adds a lot of flavor notes to it that you otherwise wouldn't expect from bourbon.
What do you think? Do you think they should be touching that bourbon if it's already done excellently? Why would you go and mess it up?
It's called the craft
bourbons. The craft, yeah, bourbons.
But it's actually not a bourbon anymore. Once they do this to it, they can't call it a bourbon, but they can say it's a straight bourbon whiskey and give it an age statement.
But age statement?
Yeah.
So you have to state that there's an age to it.
Well, if it's going to be a straight bourbon.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Mm.
But the moment they put it in that port barrel, it's
gone.
American whiskey.
I think for bourbon, you need to have an age statement if it's younger than 4 years, I think.
I believe so.
And then if you call it straight bourbon, you need to have a longer age statement. But just for most bourbons, they age them for more than 4 years.
Yeah.
So they can call it bourbon without revealing their actual time.
Being in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cheating. You got to be honest about your time in the barrel.
Well, if it tastes good and people like it, then, you know, they're doing something right.
Then who cares? I guess there's a good certain point to that.
A little bit more good straight, what is it, single barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get your age statement.
Plus, because the climate's so different and everything like that, it's not like a scotch where it needs to be aged for so much longer in order to get that mellowness and get those notes. These are aged in high heat where
it doesn't matter.
So they age actually a lot quicker, and that's a lot of what gives bourbon its more specific notes as opposed to a scotch that comes from overseas. Even though it's still, you know, a whiskey.
So what's this whole age statement thing? It has to be. Is that like a legality? Like you have to have your ABV, your proof or whatever?
Yeah.
Age statement, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of an age statement before, unless I'm going into a bar and they're like, give me your ID.
Anything over, I believe, is 2 years.
Is it 2? Okay. I wasn't sure if it was 2 or 4.
Mm.
Well, I know anything over 2, I believe, can be a straight bourbon.
Sure.
Dang. So did you guys already pour? Shoot, yeah. I haven't even poured yet.
Catch up, man.
Oh, man.
If you listen closely at the beginning of this episode, you can hear the glasses clinking as I pour it for myself.
Okay, now we have to go in there as we talk MSP goodness. Yeah. Straight up.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, smell it. So much smoother than what we did the control taste, control bourbon.
And you can immediately taste just the sweetness of the port pushing through. And it's Angel's Envy, just putting it out there, is one of my favorite drinks.
Would you put this high top shelf or like middle?
It's Angel's Envy is a very good bourbon. A very good whiskey.
Mm.
It's very highly reviewed.
Yeah.
It's well received. It's still middle. It's not like you would be
smooth.
A barrel like this, or pardon me, a bottle like this, depending on the retailer, you can get it anywhere from 35 to 60.
Oh, wow.
A pop.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. It's definitely not like the $100, $200, $300
bottle. I've had this as a gift. I have yet to go buy it. It's been given to me, and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I have yet to actually go and purchase it, which I think I probably should now.
Well, funny enough, Angel's Envy actually has a straight bourbon. It's their really high-end bourbon. They don't finish it in anything because they also do a rum finish bourbon, which is also very good.
Did we already have that one? Did we have the rum finish? Oh, no, that was...
That was a Preston.
The mash. That's right. Okay, you said rum. I was like, we've had that.
Listen to the last episode to hear a review of the rum
Brixton bourbon mash
mix, which was...
That was flavorful. That was really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Man. Okay, so let's jump into, while we sip this, some MSP. Like, what exactly... We talked about it on a couple shows and mentioned it. But for those businesses people that don't know, they're like, what the heck they keep saying? What is that?
Yeah, so MSP, Managed Service Provider. It's what we are at Intuitive Networks. There's a lot of them out there. Unfortunately, a lot of them do things differently. And so we wanted to have this episode just to lay out the different services an MSP could provide.
Yeah.
And kind of go into more details, because honestly, part of my job as the account manager here is to go to these potential clients and just figure out what they need. And almost every business needs a different set.
Right.
So right off the bat, when you think of an IT company, you think of, you know, people coming in, fixing your computers when it broke, buying you a new server when you need it, things like that. Much of the...
Behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, but also much of the very emergency fixing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't think of the day-to-day stuff. That's why people have an IT department within their company.
Right.
But a lot of companies, especially smaller companies or companies that are in various niche industries, don't have an IT group anyway. They don't hire IT tech to actually work for the company.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they don't have IT needs.
Every single company, that the whole point, you're doing things online. You know, you have capacity, battery, RAM, all sorts of stuff.
If a company has cameras, if a company has an internal computer system, obviously if a company has a server, I mean, restaurants can use IT, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's...
You're collecting payments? Heck yeah.
Yeah. So it's... An MSP is a company that comes in, sees a need, and fills a need for a company when it comes to IT. So this... And there's a lot of different ones. I'll just throw a few out there, and then we can dive a little bit deeper into them. And there's time material. There's completely remote support. There's in-person support. There's hybrids of that. There's just tool support and being a help desk sort of functionality. And then there's, you know, complete integration, which is obviously our bread and butter. That's what most MSPs strive for, but obviously some companies don't need that.
Complete integration in the sense of you sit at a location. If I was to walk around, you know, a company and just be like, oh, who's that guy? They'd be like, oh, they do our IT, right? So you're actually fully integrated. You're not a W-2 of...
Right. Yes and no.
I love those answers.
Yeah, right.
Sort of, kind of, not really.
We will always wear the Intuitive Network shirt. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's our brand. That's what we take pride in.
Right.
When we're fully integrated into a company, ideally, we set it up. We visit in person when we need to. But if things are set up correctly, we can just remotely support them full time and take care of all their IT needs. And it kind of removes their need to have any IT employees for usually a fraction of the cost. You know?
Well, and is it true? And right there, I'll throw this one out to you. So it's kind of like you have an attorney, right? You don't really necessarily, like, all businesses need some type of legal help, but they're not going to use them all the time unless it's a, not, I would say catastrophe or disaster, but kind of. Is that kind of the same with IT?
It can be.
Yeah.
Time and material would be that way.
How does that work?
If you could also have, we have different plans or different.
How does the time and material work?
Well, you call us when something breaks and we come out and fix it and we bill you accordingly.
A dumb question.
No, but I'm. Yeah.
Well, but I think of, like, material, right? So I need phones, I need laptops, I need all these things.
And coming to an MSP for time material, it is completely viable. We get a lot of people who do it because, you know, just the nature of the beast is we work with so many clients, we order so much stuff anyway.
Right.
We get good rates and deals and discounts that just Joe, CEO of his business, won't be able to get because he's buying 3 laptops as opposed to 300.
Right, right, right. Right. So you can go under that umbrella, go to Dell, HP, whoever, and be like, all right, give me the homie hookup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we can give folks good discounts even if they aren't our clients.
I don't know what part of Angel Envy got up my sinuses, but I am trying so hard not to sneeze.
Just let it out, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Get past it.
That was so, that was a good, good, good sip.
Yeah. I finished mine.
Did you?
Mine's gone.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to get another glass here soon.
Oh, dude.
Trying not to become illegible by the end of this episode here.
You're like, hey man, you're speaking in cursive. I didn't know you could do that.
I tried Angel's Envy for the first time maybe a year ago, and I fell in love with it.
That's your go-to now.
It's not my go-to, but it is my special bottle. I absolutely love it. It's a great mix-up because I'm a you know, Woodford kind of guy. I mm-hmm. like that a little bit stronger and that deeper mm-hmm. tasting. And so being able to switch it up with an Angel's Envy and just switch to some of those sweeter profiles, it just really hits the spot.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so you've got your remote work. So talk to me about that. Like, how does it work with remote?
Okay, so we have, we use some software called Screen Connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by ConnectWise. It's actually called ConnectWise Control now.
For all those haters listening.
Yeah. Well, they got bought out.
Yeah.
Recently, but so we put our clients' machines on it, and it gives us the ability to go into a console and just basically remote in at will.
Gotcha.
If they need help.
So somebody's having an issue, and you'll just go in there, pop in. They're like, "Oh yeah, I see you. Yeah, here's what's going on."
Exactly. And if
fix it.
If they have a machine, like maybe they need, let's say they're working remote and they're on a guest machine,
mm-hmm.
then we have the at will. It's kind of a temporary session that they can do that we can remote help them, and then it comes off as soon as we disconnect.
Yeah. Do you ever, when you get in there, can you go and access their cameras and look at them?
You know what?
If you remote in,
there is a feature. It's You have to dive deep. But anytime you do anything with those remote programs, it will ask for permission. So they have to click allow.
So someone who's remote in a California business or sitting in their lake house in Michigan, you can't go and be like, oh, man, I can't get on the internet. Well, let's remote in.
Yeah.
And then you go to their camera and be like, you're out on the lake, dude. Yeah.
Well,
they would have to accept that.
Oh, they would have to. Okay. That's just the creepy mind in me going, what could you find out? What could you see?
No, well, there's rules.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually one of the benefits to it versus something like LogMeIn 123. There's a lot of different remote
software. Oh, gotcha.
It's where when we have a client and they sign their agreement and say, hey, they want us to take care of their IT, there's a lot that gets done off of their work hours. There's mm-hmm. Updates, there's changes to software, things like that that get taken care of when people aren't actively trying to work
or thinking about it. Right. Yeah.
And so we have access to their computers when they need us or when there's something that happens. We just hop on, take care of it, hop off,
and good to go.
Yeah, don't need to worry about, you know, the gas or anything like that would take mm-hmm. to get there.
And now, is that typically like a monthly thing? It's just a set amount based on what? Like how many seats or how many computers you're in?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So we partner with various companies, and they sell us, and we resell it as a whole package to provide support to folks.
Gotcha. Now, what about like a creative place that has all Macs? Are you guys doing those, or are you just PCs?
We do Mac.
Yeah, we do Mac.
Okay.
I think we have one client right now who has Macs in there, and I think it's only some of their higher ups. Like
we have two.
We have two. Oh, yeah, that's right. We do have two.
Two clients.
Pardon me. One that I work very closely with, and then one that Ed works closely with. Exactly. So we both thought of different
modes. But on the total, it's two.
Yeah, yeah. So interestingly, and it might be because of cost, it might just be because of, you know, what's standard within the environment. Not very many folks run with a lot of Macs in our enterprises that we see.
Yeah, I imagine. Can't support it when it happens. Yeah, when you're up in like the 20 to 50 employees that you're working with, they're mostly daisy chained on PCs and everything, right?
Yeah. Dell, HP, Lenovo, different things like that.
But then the creative ones, they got to have their Macs, right? So you got to serve them.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, that you can really tell each industry has its own, you know, hardware isms, right? If you go into a banking or finance, odds are they have HP, Dell, Lenovo, things like that, that are, you know, just, if not cheap to acquire as a business, that will run for a while. But then you go into a more creative space, like you said, like marketing or design, businesses like that, you tend to see a lot more of those machines because they run things like Photoshop better and things like that. So it's...
Got to be on there too.
Yeah, you can tell.
What's your favorite to work on? Not Max.
Well, Ed and I share a look, because this has been not debated but long talked about within our office. I very, very much prefer Windows, whereas Ed's had a lot more experience on Max.
Yeah, I mean, I like Macs.
Yeah.
But I do like PC, so I use both.
So you use both?
Yeah.
For differentiating things, right?
Yeah. What do I carry personally?
Yeah, what do you carry personally?
A Mac.
Ah.
But that's runs, not fair. Tell them.
It also runs Windows.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's strapped on a Windows operating system on their Mac. It barely counts.
Yeah, it runs boot camp. But I share it equally between Windows.
Is that a wolf in sheep's clothing right there?
Kind of. But I mean,
it runs it pretty well.
I get it. I don't know if I can get in trouble with Apple for saying this or anything like that, just because they're... But I actually have a... Apple BIOS, Mac BIOS on my computer as well to practice with it, and it's not a Mac, it's just a Windows, and I can boot up on, you know, just virtual machine, boot up a Mac to practice on it to do different things and run updates and stuff. But it's
good. MSB is always practicing, right? You're always installing stuff,
and that's one of the things that is we work with a lot of folks, and we've had meetings and appointments with a lot of folks who currently have other MSPs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably when folks are not frustrated, but when they have pain points with current MSPs, a lot of what we see is their complaints have to do with the initiative that MSPs are going. Because traditionally, MSPs are there to step into what you have in place, take care of it, make sure it doesn't break.
Yeah.
Great. Companies now are much more, because IT is much more integrated than it was
say, 20
years ago. MSPs are really starting to switch into that driver's seat, where companies are looking at them to innovate, to integrate, to really be the pulling force as opposed to the following patching force.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so just it's kind of our responsibility in a sense to always be checking and always be improving and always be finding out what the next thing is to break, in a sense.
Well, not only that, I mean, if you're if a company, right, you don't hear from your MSP, that means you're actually doing stuff so it's not breaking down, right?
Yeah.
Or do you guys like constantly like getting in front of things and telling them what we're doing?
Yeah. We do site visits.
Yeah. Schedule. So speaking of site visits, do you guys go out and sit on site? If that's a part of...
Usually we go on site maybe every couple of months. And when we go there, we get the, by the way. So they will stack broken stuff up. They don't call it in. And then we show up.
Oh, you just have to take it?
Yeah.
A simple site visit can take 3 hours.
Yeah, you go in there to change out one RAM stick, and you're there for the rest of the day.
Oh, my gosh. What's the wildest thing you've been handed to, like, go fix?
Oh, man. That's...
In your space.
Ed, you have yours and I'll have mine, probably.
Oh, boy. A laptop that they said, I don't know what happened to it. You open it up and there's coffee pouring out of it.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Pop the cover off, oh. The wetness, take the keyboard off, and bleep.
And it's all just...
Oh, yeah.
I actually did that once. We were working on, I forget what it was, meeting with clients, and had a whiskey. Yeah. Boom, pied it with my arm. Ooh. Dude, just completely fried it. Had to go take it in, get it changed, but it smelled delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure, it was the best smelling laptop I've ever had.
That laptop with the coffee didn't smell too
good. Burnt coffee.
For me, the most... the biggest change in my schedule that was caused from a site visit... Because different MSP, different clients have different
needs and everything. Yeah,
we have remote folks who are just across the world, completely remote. We haven't visited in 6 months since we've worked on their physical servers, but yeah. We still take care of them. There's other folks we visit every week just because they have those needs. Probably the most was I went to a dental office a while back, and they were a time and material client. They were very hesitant to sign on to any contracts or anything. So we made the deal. They knew we were good.
Yep.
Anytime something broke, we showed up and stayed and fixed it. So I show up there for their internet was down. I went in person to try to fix it, figured out what was wrong.
Plugged it in?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, that was a total guess.
No, it... They overloaded one circuit. They daisy chained too many things, so there wasn't enough power going to their router. So literally unplugged it from one, plugged it into another, problem solved. I was then there for another 6 hours ish, rerouting cables because they were like, "Oh, while you're here, our cabling in the back isn't
it's
that
terrible.
Good. We keep on tripping over it. Can you take a look?" And I was there for the next 6 hours just rerouting.
If you'll pay me to do it,
right.
I'll absolutely knock it out.
And that, I hate to say it, because obviously we treat every client the same. That's our goal. Even if we are on a client where they pay us monthly and it's not time and material, we will spend just as much effort as we do with the time and material folks. That being said, when I'm 4 hours in on the ground, just digging into this mess, this rat's nest of cables, I'm like, this is fine. This is okay.
Everything's fine. It's totally okay. Everything's good. Man.
Not the text I was getting.
Yeah.
That's when you DoorDash them over some Angel's Envy and be like, "Here, while you're rerouting the red from the blue to the yellow, just take a sip of this."
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So obviously being in the space and you guys have the way that you put together your plans, your packages and all that, like what makes you... What do you do differently, I guess?
Sure.
Or maybe it's not different. Maybe it's better than, right?
Yeah, great. One of the things that MSPs can do, and I see it happening as we get reached out to more folks want to know if we can, is integrating with existing IT teams. And
everybody plays nice in the sandbox.
You hope. Because there's always that feeling. There's been a couple folks, like there was a guy who's done IT for the company for 15 years. He's getting ready to retire. You know, he's the older crotchety programmer who's super good at what he does, but doesn't want anyone to touch it. But since the company's grown so much, he just can't handle it all.
Right.
And so we have to come in and assist and aid. And we understand he's the expert in his field. We play very nicely. And as soon as that understanding that we're not here to replace you, we're here to help you, gets across, things go so smoothly. And oftentimes we look for those opportunities to have a pre-existing IT member. Because obviously someone who has worked there as a W-2 employee for years will have a greater understanding of their environment than we will coming in on day one.
Right.
And so those are situations where they kind of reach out tentatively like, "Hey, we may need some help." And we jump on it. We're like, "Great. Show us, we'll help, this will be great, we don't want to replace you, we want to help you, this is our great."
Let's make that happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what you mean by the fully integrated, right? I mean, that sounds like a very big business buzzword, but that's what you mean by that.
Yeah, and that usually takes place when there's IT there in person, that usually resolves itself as a remote-only support, where we also sell them things as they need. Where they have someone hands-on there, they can take care of, if we need a RAM stick swapped out, they can do that swap because they're there. But we can take care of, all the patching. If they have something new with any of their programs that are third-party or that they created, we can help them to spread that out so they're not going to every computer. We can just remote into 5 at a time and push it.
You're so nimble, but yet so, you know, have the ability to be, I guess, broad.
Yeah,
right?
That's really the strength of our field, is that we have the full force of an IT team for everyone, but we can do it with individual focus and flexibility.
Yeah. So when you... Do you guys want another round?
Oh, yeah. Now, do
Angels
we want...
Angels Envy, or you want... Okay, so we got some... We got another... We haven't done this yet. 2 on the show. We've got Boondocks.
Yeah.
Which is a 8-year-old straight bourbon whiskey finished in...
Port barrels. Yep. So
This is the show of port barrels.
Yeah. Same type of whiskey, but 2 different...
I'm down. Let's try a new one. Let's try a new one.
Yeah. When I came in here raving one day about how much I loved Angel's Envy to Ed, my wife, Katie, got me a bottle of it for Father's Day. And I, you know, had a couple glasses the night before. It was great.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, I was like, it's sweet. I finished it off after a, you know, small glass of Woodford. It was just the perfect compliment. And he asked me if I'd tried this because it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that in a second.
And it's very smooth.
And I...
Smoothies.
Since then, the last couple months, I still have not had a glass. So I'm very...
Really?
Yeah, really. Oh. This is my first glass of Boondocks. So
y'all don't even know the collection that Mr. Ed has. It's pretty, I thought I had a good one. Actually, you know what? I don't. I suck at collecting. I think we brought it this last time. I can't. It makes no sense to me.
It's hard to collect things when you actively drink them at the same time.
Yeah. Well, not only that, like, I can't actually eat a baseball card. So, therefore, you can collect it because it's going to sit there and appreciate in value.
Right.
Like, I'm looking at something going, wow, I know it's going to get better with age, but it would go great with this, you know, ribeye.
And we've talked about that because a lot of the folks around here and within the office collect bourbon, collect cigars, things like that.
Mm.
Mine is the smallest collection of Joe Nader.
And that's it really legit.
They have like a couple hundred bottles each. It's insane. But it really does you no good to collect something like that if you don't actually use them and enjoy them.
Yeah.
It's just taking up space on your wall.
100% agreed. Okay, so that is way more spicy than Angel Envy.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. And also, I think the port
I can taste
more... Present.
Oh, prevalent. Way at the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also depends on, you know, a lot of times the port barrels still have port in them. So they usually pour them out. I think.
And if that's at the very end, I mean, I know port is very jammy. It's got almost that sediment in there. Yeah. So that's going to get in there.
So this is going to have, I think, higher concentration of that.
It's
really good.
It borders on almost being, not, I don't want to say sour, but like right there, like if it was a little bit longer left in the sun, it'd go rancid, right? So it's like right there at that.
Also, the mash bill, I'm sure this bourbon is different than, it could be a weeded bourbon for all we know.
What do you smell when you smell it? I burnt my olfactory on the Angels in the last one.
Smells good is what it smells.
Everybody listens on the edge of their seat. No. What? Tell me.
Tell me what it smells like.
It's very porty, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, the port comes through way more than with the Angel's Envy, which is fine.
And this is a higher proof as well.
Yeah, it's the 45 versus the 43 and a half.
Proof. Goodness gracious. Yeah. My last little bit. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, you got plans after this episode.
Tell you what.
Ed and I are going to be sitting here for the next couple hours pretending to work on tickets. You're actually
all right, that's part of an MSP, right? It's the underbelly. So after we get done, we have a nice little, you know, buzz. You just turn the lights down and just take a little power nap, like 30 minutes.
Turn on the lava lamp.
Yeah. Ed, don't talk to me, I gotta take a little nap. Nothing wrong with that. That's healthy. Okay, so so flipping over to MSP, so you guys obviously have them laid out that you have these different, I hesitate to say packages or plans, but it's going to be a resource for those.
Yeah.
How do you advise people calling in how to pick one? Because you got to think they're probably like, oh, I'm going to talk to 5 of these.
We actually visit them and do an assessment.
Yeah.
And we actually pitch what will work for them. And we also pitch another option, which would be for us to take full control and run everything for them, and
yeah,
you know. So they have options.
Right.
And that's been a large part of my job, especially this last year. So we've been ramping up a lot of things like that. A large part of my job right now is taking care of all the requests and things like that as things come in.
Mm-hmm.
I usually ask them about their pain points. We sometimes have a Zoom meeting first, but usually it accumulates into me just driving out wherever they are, going out to their main headquarters, their
meet
warehouse,
and greet, talking,
and shake their hand, look at their IT,
yeah.
Take a look at what they have, figure out what their pain points, why they're reaching out in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. What was the catastrophic event that led to that? How do you not have it happen again?
Right.
Right. So you take it from more of a preventative versus a reactionary. I kind of...
Right.
That's what we absolutely prefer. The clients that we have typically the best relationships with and the best partnerships moving forward are the folks who call us and like, hey, we don't think that we're quite up to snuff. How can you help us? Versus the people like, hey, my computers are on fire.
Yeah, it's already, yeah.
because a lot of those folks, you can fix it, and then you can say, hey, here's how you prevent it. They're like, okay, thank you.
Right.
And walk away.
Yeah.
Because the problem's fixed, so why would they spend more money to, you know, prevent it in the future when, you know, it took it this long to break the first time?
Yeah. Oh, we're good for, you put a Band-Aid on it, we're good for another 10, 12 years.
Yeah. When in reality, IT is advancing so quickly that, you know. But the folks who are very conscientious about the advances, about the dangers, about, hey, we don't think that we're quite up to snuff, how can you help us?
Yeah.
And even if they're looking at four or five different MSPs, at least on a services provided, we like to think that we come out on top just because we have such a broad range of folks who we work with. So we have a broad range of what we can provide for folks specifically.
Yeah, from the retainer model to the time and material.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just plain little dance to figure out because there's different aspects to it. Ideally, every single person that we work with, we would be fully integrated with.
Yep.
That's just, you know, ideally. But that obviously doesn't work with a lot of folks.
For everyone, yeah.
Yep.
So, I forgot what I was going to say. I totally did. You had me, I was going to ask you a question, and then it just blanked out. Boondocks got me again. Got boondoggled.
You know, I was going to comment that, you know, you've been doing so well. Your internship might finally turn into like we might start paying
full gig.
You know that was it, buddy. Sorry, restarting there.
Ah! Oh man. Well, hey, now because we've always been talking about it in previous episodes and all the good stuff. Now you know kind of how this whole thing works, what you guys do. So, thank you for spending the time talking us through all of that. Everybody that is listening, go to inicorp.net. I had to think about that.
Correct.
Golly. Yeah.
I was...
I just hit that sweet spot with the port. Oh, man.
You know, I'm a little bit of a nerd. And part of an unfortunate side effect of that, and I think a lot of other IT folks can, you know, feel with me here. An unfortunate side effect of that is how much pleasure we come from that actually.
What?
Right? That actually.
Actually.
I was... on the edge of my seat to throw that out there.
Actually,
I was waiting for you to be like, oh, what's the website? So I could just spit it out and make you feel bad about
actually,
yourself.
Actually. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. Have you had any email phishing incidents lately?
Yeah.
Have you?
With the number of clients we have, it's at least a weekly thing.
So who's doing the most phishing right now? Where are you seeing it from?
Hello, you naughty thing.
Oh, that's kind.
One of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It came out across a couple of our clients. We actually we have a couple distribution boxes, distribution emails within. So it's always funny when we get fished through our distribution. Yeah. So like support@inicorp.net. Hello there, support. I've been watching you.
You're like, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, bud.
I'll have to have a little segment of the show, like, in today's fishing this week.
Support.
Do you have any good ones?
No, that's the one I
You keep getting
up.
To those. Yeah.
that's the one we joke about the most because it's out there and it's prevalent and it's just so funny. Because if, just for our listeners, we've talked about it before, but there's a very prevalent... phishing or scam attempt out there right now that goes out to folks that says basically a while back you clicked on something. I've gotten access to your camera, and since then I've been recording you, and I've seen you visiting some very inappropriate websites. If you don't want people to figure out about it, you're going to pay me some money.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's very prevalent, and it's obviously a scam.
People fall for that?
Well, they do.
You think Joe Schmo, who doesn't want his, you know, yeah. There's...
unless you watch me salivating over ESPN, we're cool.
If it didn't pay out, they wouldn't send so many.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
If for every 500 they send out and they spend a penny per, if they get one guy to pay them $1,000, you know,
It's just a numbers game then.
It's literally just a numbers game. You blast it. You use proxies so you don't get blacklisted.
Yeah.
You get a few responses. Even if you don't get it, you get a few, you know, valid emails that you can sell to your next door neighbor. And then you just blast
so
it again.
Messed up.
It's a very lucrative business. Yeah. It's very illegal in a lot of ways. It's, you know, United States obviously has, but other countries don't really care.
Yeah.
And so we see a lot of overstates phishing things. That's something that actually, for a lot of our folks, who are just internal companies. We mm-hmm. just block all external countries because that takes care of like 90% of their spam.
And then we do.
Oh, you know what?
Then we whitelist.
Yeah, whitelist. Okay.
I got something to ask you. We should do a show. Have you guys ever got questions about like social media sites and their terms of service and all the craziness that they can track?
Yeah.
Did you follow that?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay, we should talk about that on one.
Just if you read the TikTok one. Those are ridiculous.
Yeah. Thanks, China.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll dive deeper into it. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who were just tantalized by that little thing, just generally, if you work with sensitive information, don't do that sort of stuff on your work computers. Save it for save it for a personal device. The security that's in there is less than adequate for most businesses.
Delete mine.
Yeah. I've gotten so close so many times. Unfortunately, I link with a lot of family members and stuff through it. So
Through TikTok?
Not through TikTok.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm going to delete. Not social media as a whole, but that specific platform.
Scratching my neck here. Got to get my TikTok fixed.
Yeah. Fix yet. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Now you know what an MSP is, does, how to choose, and which one you should. So until next time. Peace out. This is Whiskey and Wires.